Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. You are tuning in to live radio blog talk broadcast of The Word is Right in conjunction with Past Generation Lost in the Mix Affected by Sight, hosted by none other than yours truly, Evangelist Missionary Dr. Katrina M. Sanders, member of the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry, Church of God in Christ, where the founder and pastor is District Superintendent Pastor Robert I. Sanders II. Happy belated Father's Day to all you men out there who are fathers. Whether you're married or not, and you have children, you are yet a father. God has blessed each and every one of you to be the leaders in today's world. And it always been since day one when Adam was first created. So, listen, we got very exciting things going on this weekend at the Redeemed Fellowship Outreach Ministry. We will be hosting the film documentary, actually created by a friend of mine named Cortez Mack. He's also the film producer for my project, Chronicles Journey of Women, which I am currently revitalizing the whole project because they want me just to deal with some things. So I had to kind of omit some things and have to rewrite the storyboard all over again. So it's a lot when you're doing movie, you know, film production. So we'll be looking forward to on this Sunday at 12:45, 1 o'clock, to view my dear friend, our dear friend, Minister Cortez Mack, and What About the Children documentary, which focuses on what is going on in today's society with our children, be it marriage, church, home life, the things that children go through, and what sometimes parents are not really alert about. So we will be hosting that on this Sunday, 12:45, 1 o'clock. We'll provide the lunch as well. Let me apologize to a group of my viewers that inboxed me in my personal email because they know that I am a former student of Liberty University in the Marriage and Family Therapy program, and they have been asking me several questions regarding counseling and friendship, dealing with your friends when you are a counselor or a therapist. Let me share this story with you all. Please forgive me. It's been so much going on. I mean, we've had so many things. I haven't had time to really catch up with stuff. So please forgive me. I'm not going to say that phrase charged to my head. I just have been really, really heavy with a lot of responsibilities going on, and I have not been able to get to a lot of things that I have already started. So I'm catching up right now because it's going until towards the end of the month of June already. Graduation and a lot of other things took place. But let me share this with y'all. For the 500 that inboxed me, let me share this with you all. And you can get a piece of paper and a pen or your tablet and a pen. About a year ago, I was asked, and this is a real-life experience, from someone that I've known for 20 years to help them with one of their family members. I was neglecting, I didn't want to do it because I really did not know their family like that, not around their family in any shape, form, or fashion. I don't know about the mama, the daddy, if there's any involved. Siblings, cousins, aunties, uncles, dogs, cats, tinky dinky, winky, stinky linky, whoever. I didn't want to, but because their particular family member needed help and they were facing a dramatic change in their life, they literally, you know, were not available or was not in the area to be able to know what's going on. And they asked me to help. Now, as a counselor from Liberty, understand we're under the ACA and the AACC, and there are rules and regulations for guides when we're doing counseling. When you are trying to help someone, your limitations have to be put in force. You have to enforce your limitations because what happens is that it can become personal later, but then it can become damaging in the interim. Because what happens is that when you're asked or called upon to help someone with a family member that needs help, if that family member is already upset at that other family member, say, for instance, it's a daughter trying to help the father. Father is totally in a whole other world. He could be angry. Because most of the time, parents get angry with their children because their children are not around them to listen, to adapt, to understand. And that father can pour out into that person that their child knows of and trust to help them get to where they want to get or get the services or providing the services that they are in need of. So you can have that where the parents gets very angry, and I've seen it happen. I've seen a lot of parents angry at their children. I worked 13 years in the nursing home, administration, I did admissions, I did psychotherapy. I have seen parents literally talk about they're not going to tell their children that they talked about them to somebody else. And so what happens is because a lot of them become very fearful of what their child and or children may do to them. And it should not be like that, because the relationship between the parent and the child and or children can be constrained, where it actually divides a lot of feelings, a lot of emotional experiences, and it becomes very, very risky. A lot of times what parents would do, I recall with my mom, you know, the high-profile career at the post office here in Chicago. She worked at the main one where the mail actually comes to the city of Chicago, downtown Harrison Street, before it's dispersed to other sites. Grandmother would get very upset at my mom because her lifestyle out of the post office. She would tell about it, but they would have this one-on-one confrontational battle where my grandmother would tell her what she felt was wrong, what she wasn't doing, what she should have been doing, so on, so forth, and so on. And so from that point, my grandmother would deliberately call one sister and tell that one sister, who ended up passing away, what her feelings were or her concern was about my mom. So, you know, I've heard this go on because parents do talk. And let me explain something to grown children. Don't think that your parents ain't talking about you, because they are. And when they tell somebody that you entrust to help them about what they felt about you or how they felt that you felt about them, they ain't going to tell you for the sake of argument, because you're going to believe what that parent tell you because they want to block what they said, because they know if the other person come in and say this, it could open up a whole bag of worms. So a lot of times that parent will say, well, that person told me thus and so and thus and so and thus and so. And then they'll turn around and say, yeah, because I remember you knew about it. Well, no, you may not even been there when something happened, because you wasn't. But that parent informed you of what went on amongst other things. So then when something comes up, which it normally does, then that parent get mad and want to get back into the graces of that child. So what they'll do, the person that you told to help their mama, daddy out, they end up being the bad person. Follow me now? So that way, that person is a bad person. But now if that bad person came back and said, well, you know what, let's not even play. Let me call a spade and tell you what your mama said about you. God forbid you got other siblings attached to it. And then when you start coming out on the truth area, then it's going to be like, wait a minute, how do you know about this? Well, because not only were they telling you what they wanted to tell you, but they failed to tell you what they talked about when they were talking to that person about you. It happens like that. So as counselors, marriage, family, individual therapists, we have to be careful where that line is. When it comes to with friendship, and they ask you to help them, it is better to cover your behind and do this. Refer them to somebody else. You know why? Because it will cause a complete conflict. Every family is going to always portray their own identity or their own personality to be different. And then before you know it, you got people that are stepping outside their character, trying to dispute the fact who's right, who's wrong, or who's telling a lie, who betrayed the secret. It happens. It happens. Because with my own experience, I had to deal with someone I knew, but I just knew of just being around in a certain area, but never been in their house, never been around their family, or none of those things like that. They turned around, and then when their parent got mad at them, their parents started to reveal other things that nobody even asked for. And they quick to turn around because they're afraid that if the person tells the truth, they got to cover their ground by saying, oh, I didn't say that. They volunteered it. They didn't volunteer nothing. They talked about it. And then you might not even say a word. You just listen. So almost listening is conflicting, because that person will turn around and they will twist, oh, you know it, everybody got an attitude. then what I'm noticing a lot of times, which is not, it's not cool, on Facebook, Facebook know all your business. I'm going to tell Facebook. Like, who's going to get on Facebook and go find that person going to whoop them? I don't understand the concept of folks thinking nowadays. I wonder sometimes. And I've said this many times. So even with the students I mentor, I said, when you get online with Facebook, and people don't know how to use Facebook, counselors, it is not to your advantage to use Facebook to vent out about your clients or referrals, because this is how fights get started. You know, you have a man that's making millions of dollars and more, billions of dollars, off of a social internet media where people reconnect from grammar school, high school, family, whatever. And they get on Facebook and they tell all their business, I'm in the bathroom, I'm over here around the corner. They're not putting anything that's, it's a social media tool. But a lot of people have made their personal diary of their life. And so then people start to perceive you for what you write. You can say, I love dogs. And the next thing they're going to say, you love dogs to the point that you'll do things that's crazy. That's how people's minds are. Because they don't think clear. They don't think rational that, okay, they love dogs. Well, something else going on while they love dogs. No, it's not going on while they love dogs. So when you're talking about counseling people in the secular, and especially in the religious area, a lot of them in the religious area have not been given biblical principles. They've been given family traditional training because they don't understand the difference. And I was sharing with somebody the other day, 2 weeks ago, I was talking to someone about that. And I told them, I said, from my church where we come from, they didn't dwell on marriage. They honestly did not dwell on it. They dwelled on you paying assessments, being at every meeting, being at every conference, being at every convention, paying all these reports, and being whatever you're trying to get. You're trying to get high up in the hierarchy of the church, and you want to be this and you want to be that, and you got to be up here at the top because it's mandated for you to be here because I'm connected to this and I'm connected to that, blah, 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 blah. And so, but at the end of the day, you have nothing to fall back on. You come out of there, your pockets are broke. You know, and the same people you gave money to, they're not going to come by and visit you on a Sunday and have Sunday school with you or have Sunday service. They're not going to do it. They harbor on the title of the status. And that's the same thing. So even people in the church, they don't know how to keep their marriages. They don't know how to deal with their marriages. So a lot of times people will reach to those who have an upstanding life and have been through the areas of marriage that you are experiencing. And so when you are experiencing these different things, you pretty much try to find someone that can understand the same identical path that you are going through. They've already been there and how they were able to come out of that area. That is the key element. But even in that so much, there are some people that feel uncomfortable for whatever reason they do, whether they don't want to hear the truth or they just think that it's justifiable. When you are talking about counseling friendship, to your advantage in that area, if your relationship is at the level where you feel dishonored or disrespected, then you need to refer them to someone else. But see, who's to say that the someone else you refer them to, they're going to want to see that? Because most people figure out they already have that experience and down pat. No, you don't. You really don't. So that's why you have a counselor to mediate between two parties or a group. That's why they have group counseling. I probably suggested in my family for them to get group counseling because of experiences that they endured or they saw. Divorce is not something that's taken lightly because the children that become disoriented mentally And if you don't have the support from both parents to say they didn't try to work things out or they didn't work hard enough to try to figure out what went wrong or what happened, then the children, you got to do the opposite. And you can't enforce the kids, or the children, I'm sorry, the children on your beliefs other than the Bible. If you don't teach the Bible, then you're not going to have a successful marriage. You have some folks that's not even biblical, religiously biblical, but moralistically good, and they keep, for some reason, the secular will stay married longer than the one in the church. I'm just saying. But when you are trying to help, you should have restrictions and limitations, because it could come back, and your means could be so well, and you might even repeat what they just said, but they're going to put it in your mouth and say you said it first, and it wasn't you, it was them. So you got to put limitations and restrictions on that, because what happens is that it can become ugly to the point that people start to hate each other. And, you know, and my thing is, if you are upset at a person or a situation, profanity is not the way that you should go, because that means you have no other word to replace, and you're going to snatch whatever curse word that you want to feel like you're doing to get your point across. And a lot of times, it doesn't help you continue to make that lack of ignorance. You just lack in ignorance, because you're not able to say what you need to say, or you're covering up that which you feel is truthful, but you don't want nobody to know the truth. You would rather keep it in your direction. I told someone the other day, I said, I've always heard you talk about me, 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 but I never heard you once say what God has for you. Never heard that. Never heard it. You know, I never heard it, because they don't have God in their life the way that they think they have it. God is not like Tylenol you only use it when you get a headache, or you want to box God in a sense to force what you want your belief to be so it's comfortable for you. And that's what causes a lot of relationships and marriages to be destroyed, because it's all about what you think, what I feel, what I want, what I believe, and it's nothing that God is nowhere in the picture. Because what you're doing, you're putting flesh over God, and you're telling God to submit to the flesh. So now when God is trying to let you know that he's here for you and he's there for you, you yet feel, well, it's what I want, was about what I want to do, and that's the problem. And one thing about it, if you are selfish in your marriage with your spouse, then you don't need to be married. And that's real talk. Because if it's all going to be centered around your needs only and what you feel to make you comfortable without any compromisation, then pretty much you're going to be stuck like that. That means you don't want to change. You want things your way or the highway. And that is what causes a lot of families and a lot of marriages to be spiraling down the hill, and that's the bad part about that. I look at marriages that have made it past 30 years, made it past 20, 30 years, because they've done what they could do to get to the next level where you could be able to have different battles. But now when your friends ask you to help them in those areas, it would be to your advantage to refer them, because you already know too much about them. And that's a downward spiral. We were taught that in school, that if it's a friend, family, refer them elsewhere. Because what happens is that it becomes too personal, and then you already know the person. You know how they think. You already know how their behavior is. You already know how they are. So if you already know how they are from your own personal dealings, it's going to be hard to counsel them or to help them with anything, because you already know who they are. You already know what they're about. You already know what they stand for, because they're not standing for what makes sense. they're setting for what they feel it should be, that should play out in their favor, because this is who I am. And they don't have God nowhere in it. For many of you that ask me these questions about counseling friends, my suggestion is use your own discretion, but also by the same point, if at all possible, refer them elsewhere. Because it can become too frustrating. It can become too damaging. It can become too hurtful in an area where you are not able to see them no more than what you've already known them to be. And that means, in retrospect, that if you already know that that friend of yours have selfish tendencies and their mindset is too strong, they're not listening to nothing that you're talking about. So to really help them and help their family is really going to hurt you in the end, because if that family member is very disappointed in what their son, daughter, grandkids, or whatever doing, and they feel they're not being treated right, or because their own family have done an injustice to them, or their own family has mistreated them, they don't know how to love. They don't know how to find the help that they need. Because you can talk to them all till you blue in the face, and they will not understand anything about what you're saying, and they're totally foreign. It's all foreign. It's all Greek to them. So this is why, since you have to use discretion, it would be suggested that you refer them to other people to help them. But that way you're not caught up in no misunderstandings, no misconceptions, because it will happen. It will happen. And then you're stuck there wondering what the devil went on. Just to save yourself, leave them alone. Let them find them somewhere else. Say, you know, hey, you know, I'll find someone else to help you. That way you are out of the picture and you don't have to go that direction, because that direction will take you down a slope hole of a battle. And then while you're battling, you're arguing, then you're sitting up on Facebook, inboxing crazy messages and stupid messages and all of that. You're talking too much. And that's the thing about with some men. I'm not bashing men. I'm just saying some men do more complaining than women do, and it's kind of hard to decide where their brain is really at, because how they just don't listen. And if their father has not been around in their life to help them, they are totally a mess. Listen, you can continue to email me. Let me know if I answer your questions. drkatrinasanders@gmail.com. That's drkatrinasanders@gmail.com. I will repeat that. drkatrinasanders@gmail.com. Or ladykatrinamsanders@gmail.com. So listen, let me know. If I ask your questions, feel free to email me. I'll email you back. You have a wonderful and blessed day. Talk to you soon. God bless. Said, boy, you really got time.
You know you're young, go out and have fun before you make up your mind. And I have to admit, I have said from time to time, but this feels like the last time. Feels like I'm living in the last time. It kind of reminds me how my daddy told me, boy, don't move the car. But when he went in the store, put the pedal to the floor, did what I wanted in the house. You imagine my brain, it was the basement again when he found out what I done. Yo, this feels like the last time. Feels like I'm living. Don't know where and I can't say when. Sure would be nice to feel your spirit again. I must say since I've been alone, I can't face it on my own. That is why the hear us be grown.
me a favor and make some noise, everybody. This is my tribute to the sound of the 80s, the early 90s. Back in the day when we used to wear choir robes, y'all remember that? Come on, EOP and BOI. Say, Lord, I really.
Holiness.
Holiness.